Thank you so much, Brother Lassley. It's good to be here and to have the privilege once in a while to come to Buffalo Ridge. And I think especially today, Betty and I are glad to be here because you've been through a year of rather major transition. And everything that I've heard from Brother Lassley and from Brother Jenkins and from some of you that I see from time to time has been very encouraging to me. And I'm just thankful and great to see a wonderful crowd of you here this morning. And some of you are new that maybe have never seen me before because you've come in the last year. And God bless you for being here. And this church is a great place. And I'm not just talking to you because I'm here. I tell people that because people ask me around the country in my travels. And most of you know I do travel some. Somebody asked me this morning something about it, and I said, look, March, April, and May is a total blur. It's just a blur. I've gotten up several times, set my feet on the side of the bed, and had no clue even where I was. But I've had about 10 days at home. In fact, I actually spent the weekend at home last weekend for the first time, and who knows when. But I tell people, because they ask me, you know, Where are the churches around the country that are doing right, staying true? And I often tell people about the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and the unique history of the church. Been here for so many, many years. And the long extended tenure of Dr. Lassley and what you've done in those years. And in the making the choice that you've made to stay on track and to get a younger man elected and serving and leading now in the same direction. I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, you know, just the blessing of God is all we need to go with that. And so we're really excited about that and thankful for it, thankful for the friendship we have here and have had for a long time. And Betty and I enjoy coming, and we look forward to being here all day long today. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to preach all afternoon, but we're planning to be here all day. And in fact, you may be able to tell my voice is just a little bit ragged this morning, so I'm babying it a little bit. I don't know why, but it seems like just every once in a while, the medicines and stuff do not contain the allergies and the sinus and all that kind of stuff. And so I've been battling that for a couple of days, but it's not gone. It's just impaired a little bit. So you'll be patient with me this morning and listen to what I want to say to you. And these guys are going to keep me pumped up real good so that giving me all that they can back there. But it's great to be here, and I look forward to being back tonight. The service tonight is at 6:30. Is that right? Am I right? 6:30. Not 6:40, but 6:30. And we'll have a great time tonight, so I hope that you'll be here. Now, I want you to do something this morning. I want you to turn to the Psalms. We're going to look at the Psalm that is the most familiar passage in all the Old Testament. Do I need to tell you which one it is? Yeah, okay, 23. Now, as you're finding that, you may have noticed Betty and I are manning a table out in the lobby. It has sword books. Paperbacks are $5. The hardbacks are $10. Hope you'll come out and find some things on the table that'll be a help to you. And we're doing another thing right now. We're pressing real hard for 15,000 new subscriptions to the sword. And when I say new, I mean either renewals or whatever. And I hope today, while that we're here, today, this morning, or tonight, that you'll sign up for yourself or for somebody else. You get 26 issues in the process of the year. That's every other week. And just $15, we put the sword of the Lord in your hands. We gave you copies this morning. If you're not familiar with it, you look it over. And then tell me whether you think it's worth 50, 60 cents an issue coming into your mailbox or not. I think you'll find so many things in there, you'll say it's worth far more than that. But we want you to have it. We try to make it easy for you to get it. And there are people you know who ought to be getting it. And you may want to invest in some of them. And if you do, come back to the table. We'll sign you up. And I would love to get a good bunch of subscriptions while we're here today. Some of the men on our sword board said, well, you bet the sword 15 years. We ought to push to get 15,000 subscriptions. So we've set this 3 months aside between now and the end of July, and we're right on track to get it done, but I need your help. So I hope that you'll come by today and sign up for the Sword of the Lord. Now, did you find Psalm 23? All right, I want to, just before I read it, I want to tell you kind of why that I'm doing this morning. While I was still pastor in Maryland, in fact, sometime I think in the early 90s, I announced to our church right about this time of year that I was going to preach a series of messages from Psalm 23. And I told them at that time there were 12 messages. And I would do them Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night for 6 weeks. I did those messages, but in the process of doing them, I found another one or two. And so later that fall, I think I preached one of them, and then maybe sometime in the winter, I preached another one. And I wound up with 23 separate messages out of these 6 verses. And I made a mistake. The mistake was I thought I had preached everything out of the chapter that it had in it. Now, that's always a bad move on anybody's part, to think that you've bled the Bible dry or that you've gotten everything out of it there is in it. And just a few weeks ago, I was reading right through, and I came to Psalm 23, and I spotted something that I had not noticed before. It was there all the time, but I had not seen it. So I want to give you this morning what is, for me, message number 24 out of this chapter. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you, and we'll read the chapter, and then we'll look at what I want to give you. The chapter says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, if you look with me at this chapter, there is a word that appears in this chapter 9 times. One word. It's repeated 9 times. It's the little word the, T-H-E. The. Now, it's there for a reason. The Bible says that every word of God is pure. It also says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So whenever I look at the specifics, one of the things that I've discovered, and I'm sure that you have, is the Lord is in the details when it comes to the Bible. And the use of this little article, the, it's in here 9 times. I want to show you some things out of that. Now, let me explain to you what this word is. You know, in the English language, we divide the language up into nouns, pronouns, verbs, adverbs, etc. Well, the word the is in the adjective family. And adjectives describe and define things. Like if you say, the burgundy carpet. Well, burgundy is an adjective. It describes the carpet. The is in the adjective family. But more precisely, it is not just an adjective, but it is an article. And there are only 3 articles in the English language. A-N, and the. Only 3 articles. Now, A and N are indefinite articles. indefinite articles. For instance, if I say to you, a dog chased a cat through a yard, because I use the indefinite articles, you don't know which dog, which cat, or which yard. But if I say to you, the dog chased the cat through the yard, then you know exactly what dog, what cat, what yard, because I use the definite article. Now, this definite article is employed in this chapter, and a couple of times there's two of them hooked together in tandem, where it's like the valley of the shadow, two of them together. But they're here, and they're here for a reason. And so I call this message the articles of our faith, the definite articles of our faith. And here's what it tells me. Verse number one says, the Lord. The Lord. Not a Lord, but the Lord.
Right.
Not some pot-bellied Buddha. Not one of the 300 million so-called gods of Hinduism, but the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
When we talk about the Lord, we're talking about the Jehovah God who created the universe, who is in fact the Almighty.
Amen.
The Lord. And whenever we talk about the Lord, I mean, it's not some man-made sculptor or carving that somebody has designated and said, we will make that a God. When we talk about the Lord, we're not talking about a man-made God. We're talking about the God who made man. And whenever we talk about the Lord, it identifies for us, this article identifies deity for us. We want to find out where God is, who God is. The Bible says the Lord. And the Lord is the Lord who is the omnipotent God, meaning the all-powerful God. All-powerful. This is the Lord who looked out in space and said, let me have Jupiter right there and Venus right there and Earth right there. And by his spoken word, worlds were put in place.
Amen.
The Lord. We find out who deity is. He is all-powerful. And not only is he all-powerful, but he's all-knowing, omniscient, all-knowing. You know, God doesn't need a subscription to Google. He doesn't have to Google stuff up to find stuff out. He already knows it. There's no need for heaven to have a vast library filled with books, because God knows everything. By the way, which is the same reason why you won't be getting an update Thursday afternoon and some flash from heaven that says, oh, we got a page or two to add to the Bible or something to correct. Not going to happen, because it's his word and he got it right from the start. The Lord, he is all powerful, he is all knowing, and he's also omnipresent, meaning he's always present everywhere. That means that if you in your life, I mean, if you trip up and you fall and you tumble end over end and feel like you're falling into some bottomless pit, I'm promising you that when you hit bottom, God, who is God, will already be there with his everlasting arms to put it around you and to help you whenever you do fall into some pit somewhere. He'll be there, omnipresent. So the first of these articles identifies deity, tells us who God is, the Lord. The second one is found in verse 2, where it says, the still waters. In fact, this passage, this verse mentions the green pastures, and then it says, the still waters. This article is the one that I call the article of abundant provision. Abundant provision. The God who is God in verse 1 has made arrangements for us that he describes like green pastures and still waters. An abundant provision for us. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The green pastures and the still waters here are describing that abundance of provision, our daily bread, what God provides Still waters. We're not talking about some rushing torrent, but we're talking about a standing water that is calm and serene. The kind of a place where you could go and get out and put your face in it and drink from it because it's pure and it's not dangerous, and there are no predators lingering in the shadows of the water. You can drink from it. You can draw from it to feed your family. In fact, you can take your little family, put them in a little boat, and go for a little tour on that water without threat and without danger. You can be there because it's the place of God's provision for you. Those green pastures, lush, verdant, full of everything that is needed. I'm telling you, when God makes provision, we're not talking about a stimulus package that'll bust the budget. No, we're talking about God's provision that will make our sustenance for us and supply for us and be always sufficient, and you won't have to be passing it on to generations coming to pay for it, because God, in all of the riches of heaven, makes the arrangement and pays for it in full. Amen. Abundant provision. Yeah. And so we have the article that identifies deity in verse 1, the article of abundant provision in verse 2. We get to verse 3 for the third one, and it talks about the paths of righteousness. The paths, a definite article. Definite in the sense that God here just tells us that there is that he has moral codes and values by which he expects us to function. And we found out in verse 1, God's God. We found out in verse 2, he's going to take care of us. We're finding out in verse 3, he's laid out a path for us that is a right path, a good path, a righteous path, and this is the path of his codes and his values, and he's laid it out so that you and I can make our way through the rugged, forested area of this world, and we'll stay on track in the process. I'm not a hunter, but I have been hunting a few times. And it hasn't been lately, but I remember when you go walking out through the fields and you're headed toward a wooded area, a heavy forested area. Every time that I've ever done that, if you get up near the trees where the woods are, and if you just start walking along and looking, everyone that I've ever been to, you walk along a little bit, and sure as the world, you'll find that somebody or something has already been there, and there's little trails, little paths cut. Maybe the deer did it. Maybe rabbits did it. Maybe some farmer took a blade and went through and pushed down trees and cut a trail. But if you'll just look, there are already paths cut through the woods. It's true everywhere. And what the Lord is saying in this passage is he has laid out paths of righteousness for us to follow. Right. And what happens if I go through the woods, I'll do a whole lot better if I stay on the paths. Right. I'm a whole lot less likely to step on a reptile and be bitten. I'm a whole lot less likely to step in a hole that's covered over. I do so much better. Less bruises, less scratches, less all kinds of things if I stay on the path in the woods. And God says, I have laid out the paths of righteousness. It's what the Ten Commandments are about. It's what the book of Proverbs is about. It's what the Sermon on the Mount is about. It's what the epistles are about. Laying out the right paths on which you and I can walk, so we don't have to get up on a June morning in 2010 and say, now, I wonder how to invent my life. I wonder what I'm supposed to do. You know, we have people today, some of the psychological jargon and some of the contemporary jargon today, it's like, I'm trying to find myself, you know. I'm trying to find myself. Well, the Lord has laid out a path so that we can get on it. And that path is the right path. Now, look at the fourth one of these. You get into verse number 4, and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This one I call the article, no, well, actually this is one where it's in tandem, two of them. The Valley of the Shadow. This one I call the article of sustaining grace. The article of sustaining grace. Now don't let anybody, don't let anybody tell you that now that you're a Christian, that everything is always going to be wonderful. You're going to have some valleys on which you'll have to walk in your Christian life. There are going to be some days that'll be so dark that you won't know where to turn. And that's why God in this fourth verse has said in a definite matter, he said that when we walk through the valley where the shadows even of death fall, we have no need to be afraid because he has promised to walk with us through that valley and sustain us no matter how dark the shadows. And so it's the article of sustaining grace. Reality is there are valleys, there are shadows. But you and I, as the sons and daughters of God, can cope with those shadows and we can conquer in the midst of them. So whatever trouble you're having in your life today, whatever difficulty and however long that it seems to have lasted, I want you to know that God has said to us, there is no need for us to fear because he walks by our side every step of the way, sustaining grace to hold us up. Notice in verse number 5, the fifth one, where he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, I call this one the article of militancy. The article of militancy. Is that a missing word today in Christian circles? I mean, everybody seems to be trying to make peace with everything. You know, it's like the devil comes to town and we want to license him and giving him a place to set up and operate. No, I think we ought to be giving him a fit. Telling him to go on down to Kingsport or go across the mountains into the Carolinas or someplace, but leave us alone. Now, the Bible says here that God has prepared a table for us so that when the enemy is present, that table will have all of the arrangements on it that we need. It'll have all of the arsenal on it that we need, so that we can deal with the enemy. You know, sometimes I hear Christians say, you know, I'm just not a fighter. Well, I'm not a fighter either. And I'm going to tell you something. You show up at my house in the dark of the night, break out a window on the back side, and give some indication that you're going to get into my house, and you're going to find that this little short 5'9½ guy is, I mean, he is going to give you a fight. You say, what would you do? You don't want to find out. You say, if I did that, would you kill me? I would try not to kill you. I would just make you wish you were dead. You understand? Now, don't come around trying to break in my house, what I'm telling you. Because you're going to find that the fight will come out of me. My normal demeanor is not, I mean, I didn't come in here this morning with fight on my mind. I didn't need to come in here with fight on my mind. I mean, this is the house of God, and this is the place of fellowship, and we're going to get along in here. But whenever the devil shows up, you and I ought to put our fighting clothes on and know that God has already provided for us so that we can do the fight that we need to do when it comes fight time. By the way, I think my family's worth fighting for. I think my church is worth fighting for. I think my country's worth fighting for.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, the fact is, you and I need to understand the article of militancy. Somebody said to me, but the battle is the Lord's. The battle's the Lord's. I know the battle is the Lord's, but he's made us foot soldiers, and he expects us to show up when there's a fight to be done. Right. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy. 2:3. So this is the article of militancy. So verse 1, we've got the article that identifies deity. Verse 2, the article of abundant provision. Verse number 3, the article of sustaining grace. The article of moral codes in verse 4, the article now of militancy. And when we get to verse number 6, the first part of that verse says, the goodness and mercy of God shall surely follow me all the days of my life. This one I call the article of faith and resolve. All the days of my life. Faith and resolve. All the days of my life, faith to believe God, resolve to do what he said, resolve to stay on track, resolve to do what's right. All the days of my life. Fact is, we got a lot of folks starting stuff, not near as many folks finishing stuff. It's easy to start. It's also a proneness to fizzle. And you and I need to be finishers. We need to determine that we will be unmovable, unshakable, not taking sidetracks, not retreating in the face of difficulty, but just determining day by day by day we're going to do what we ought to do. When I mention the name Viola Walden, some of you will recall her immediately because she was so visible in the sword for so long. Viola went to heaven 3 years ago this past April. She was almost 93. She was not retired. She was still very much at work at the sword. She had been on staff at the sword 72 years and 7 months. I said on staff 72 years and 7 months. Twice during those years, someone, both times it was a medical doctor, courted her, proposed to her, wanted to marry her, and she turned both of them down. Somebody said to me, "Well, why did she do that?" I said, "We all thought she was married to the sword." Now, I don't know whether she was married to it or not, but she was devoted to it. And she wasn't about to let anything keep her from doing what she did for 72 years and 7 months. Until April of 07, every issue of the sword from 1934 on, it had Viola's hands all over it. She worked all day on Friday. I found her dead early Sunday morning. She didn't show up for Sunday school. What a testimony. You don't show up for Sunday school, and guess what I did? Just happened. I'd had that Sunday booked, and rare thing, but somebody canceled for some reason. And I told Betty, I said, "I'm staying home." I said, "I'm not telling anybody. I've got that Sunday open." I said, "I'm staying home for a Sunday." And in the providence of the Lord, I was home that weekend. And when we showed up for Sunday school, and one of the sword employees said to me, "I've tried to call Viola all morning. Her phone's busy, but she's not answering." I immediately left the auditorium of the church, and I rushed the 2 miles back over to the apartment she lives on the sword grounds and called the emergency workers, and we broke in the house and found her dead. What a testimony. At 93 almost, but she doesn't show up. Whoa, we all got bug-eyed, and we went tearing out across town. I mean, in a rush. And we didn't wait a few hours to do it. We did it immediately because we knew something was wrong. That was Sunday morning. She'd worked all day on Friday. I said, "Well, at 93, I guess she wasn't doing much." And I'm telling you what, I got young people working the sword. I wish I knew how to work like Viola worked. And the last day that she worked, you would have thought she had never done any of it before. It was all still just, I mean, she was all over it. All the days of my life. Probably not surprise you to know that when I stood to preach her funeral, what the text was? All the days of my life. Now, I'm just simply saying that God says in this verse that his mercy and his goodness will follow us all the days of our life, and you and I ought to have faith and resolve for every last day so that we do right, stay right, and finish right. The last one of these is found in that second half of that verse where he says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Got the two in tandem again. The house of the Lord. These two I call the articles of everlasting promise. Everlasting promise. When all that has been said and done that will be said and will be done when everything is wrapped up and everything is finished and there's nothing more yet to be done and nothing more yet to be said, and we make our crossing over on the other side. The Lord God has made arrangements. I'm talking about the Lord who is God, the Lord who is the Lord. He has made arrangements and he has made a preparation place for us so that we can have an eternal dwelling place, that the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
In the house of the Lord, this wonderful place where we are sheltered and safe and snug, the house of the Lord. When it comes time to make the crossing, dear friend, you won't need a GPS to find your way there, because God, who is the Lord, will see that every one of his children gets home.
Yeah, that's right.
Every one. You'll notice this chapter started with the Lord. The last one of these is the Lord. Everything ought to start and stop right there. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Everything ought to start and stop with him. But I ask you, when we talk about these articles of our faith, these are definite articles that lay it all out so that you and I can live in the victory circle, so that you and I can have a victorious faith, not just on Sunday morning and Sunday night, but on Monday when you're at work, and on Tuesday when you're at play, and on Wednesday when you're at school, and whatever else you do in your life, so that you can have a triumphant and victorious faith that will see you through all the way to the other side. Articles so definite that victory is realized in your Christian life. But how is it with you? I'm talking to somebody who needs to sign up. Somebody who needs to look up to heaven and say, oh, Lord God, oh, Lord God, I need to get in. I need to yield myself in faith and trust the crucified and risen Christ. Maybe somebody needs to do that today, and if you do, it can be done. And we invite you to do it. There may be folks who ought to join the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church today. Well, definite things ought to take definite action. And I encourage you, if the Lord's brought you here to this part of the world, this is a good place. Brother Jenkins preaches here every Sunday. We're sorry that he's ill today, but Lord willing, he'll be on his feet again quickly. But I want you to know this would be a good place. And I pray that you'll listen to the Lord's prompting of your heart. Let's stand up together and we'll pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. Brother Gary's coming to sing or to lead a song as he chooses to do. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder this morning, across this auditorium, Dr. Lassley will be here at the front to receive folks, help anybody that comes. But these altars are open for all of us. And I wonder this morning, how many of you, just with uplifted hand, would say, pray for me. God's working in my life. And I need to hear from heaven. And I need my life to be more online with the things that you're talking about here. And do pray for me. And you just slip your hand up to say, pray for me. Pray for me. I want this stuff to work in my life. I want it. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you. I see you back in the back. Yes, God bless you. Now, while our heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, are there some of you who in all honesty would just say, I don't know, and I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven if I were to die. I'd like to know that I'm going to have a place in the Father's house, but right now I don't have it settled. And just by the uplifted hand, and before I pray, you'd slip your hand up just for a minute for me to see it. And by slipping your hand up, you're just saying, I don't have it settled, but I'd like to get it settled. And you'd slip it up just for me to see it for just a second. I'll not embarrass you at all. Not at all. We've got heads bowed. So you can do it privately. You'd slip your hand up to say, pray for me. I'm not sure of heaven. do pray for me. I'm looking all over the place, up in the balcony and everywhere. Anybody? All right, before we pray, one more thing. Are there some of you who are not members here, but you're praying about it? And you'd say to me and Dr. Lashley, you'd say, do pray for me. Do pray for me. We're praying about joining and becoming a member here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd slip your hand up just to say, pray for me. Yes, thank you. God bless you, and God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'll look around. One more time. Well, dear Father, we pause here to thank you for how good you are. And honestly, day by day, we do see the goodness and mercies of heaven being accorded to us. It shows up every day, and we're glad for it. And now today, several people have lifted their hand with one need or another, one burden or another. And dear Lord, I pray that you would minister them and strengthen them and help them in this morning service. For those that are pondering joining Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Lord, I pray that you'd give them a clear direction about that. And if it could be this morning, we'd be tickled about that. We'd be happy about it. I pray that you'll guide them in making that step. And if they should respond, I pray that they will. And Lord, I'll thank you for what you do. And may the sweet blessings of heaven be ours. May folks come and kneel in this altar and get from you what they need. And we'll rejoice and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Brother Gary, if you'll lead us, please.
I have decided.
You're coming. You step out. Come
to
on.
Follow Jesus.
You're coming. Come on.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
The next one now, verse 2.
Though none go with me,
come
still
on,
I will
come
follow.
On, do it this morning.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Yes.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning
Amen.
Back.
Amen. God bless you,
folks. No turning back. The world behind me. Before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Others are coming, start over again, say it again.
I have decided to follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
The next one now. Next verse.
Though none go with me, still I would follow.
You're coming. Come on.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back.
The world behind me.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me.
For just a moment as these folks are being dealt with here at the altar. I want to ask you just one more time before we finish and head out to lunch. Is everything well with you? As we sang just a little bit ago in the opening part of the service, is it well with your soul? Is everything in place where it needs to be? Or do you have something hanging loose? Something not quite where it ought to be? Listen, these are the kinds of times when we can get them right with the Lord and get things in place. And I wonder even now as I'm talking if someone else maybe needs to slip out and find your way to this altar. And let's get things in place with the Lord like they need to be. May the Lord be pleased for all of us to do that. We'll wait for you while these folks are being dealt with. All right, one more time, verse number one. I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I am decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Okay, you may be seated for just a moment. Now, these dear folks have want to join our church by statement. They have been saved and you've been immersed. But I'm no longer pastor of this church, so I'm going to have the deacon chairman to come in, and you can get a motion to receive them. I'm sure Brother Jody want to go ahead right ahead and take them in this morning. So, Brother Mullins, you come and handle that and call on somebody to dismiss in prayer.
Okay. Great. God's good, isn't he? Blessed. I hear a motion. We accept these folks as okay. Second, all in favor, raise your right hand. Aye. All right, you're accepted. Oh, we didn't get your glasses.
You'll have to wait a little rapture to get your, or you can see them. Earl and Priscilla Casey. So they both want to join our church and have been voted in. So glad to have you folks. Amen. I'll tell you what about this, and I'll let you go. But his father came. The same in this church here, but okay. His father's in heaven. He came to me one time over in my office, and he said, I'm not sure I'm saved. And he'd been a deacon and Sunday school teacher and everything. And I said, well, I can't tell you where you're saved. Let's just get down and pray about it. And we started praying, and I prayed with him, talked to him, and he broke down before the Lord. And I said, well, Brother Casey, did you get assurance or did you get saved? He said, I got saved right now in that office back there. So isn't that wonderful? Well, Brother, bless your heart. I'm glad you came, and I know Brother Joe to be happy for it. Well, what you want to, Mrs. Smith, want to slip back to the table back there? Okay, she'll slip back there. And I hope you will get a subscription to the Sword of the Lord and fill it out. This church, I think, will stay true if we stay in the direction like this. That we're going now, and part of it would be read good material and read the Sword of the Lord and other good Bible-believing books. So God bless you, Brother Casey. And we haven't been dismissed in prayer, have we? Let's stand. Dr. Harry Vickers, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Pray for Brother Jody.